And the instruction that we have this evening is called Staying on the Line. I am so thankful that I am in a room full of women who are committed to God's Word. You guys are committed, I know, to the authority of His Word, to the sufficiency of His Word. And when I'm thinking about the authority and sufficiency of the Lord's Word, I often think of 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. I'm going to read it for us. It's always good for us to remind ourselves of these commitments that we have. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. Now, I know as Bible teachers and women who are involved in ministry, you have a commitment to the Word, and you want to see God's Word effectively at work in the women and the children that you work with. You've got that commitment. But if you're like me, sometimes something happens when you get ready to teach. I have that same commitment. But then when I open my Bible and I get ready to teach, occasionally something happens. I will look at the scripture that I'm getting ready to teach on, and sometimes I'll think, oh man, this scripture, this one's really confusing. Or this one's so familiar. Or in the prophets, wow, that's a lot of judgment in that passage. Or I'll think, I wish there was more historical context in this. So when I'm thinking those thoughts, sometimes instead of digging deeper into the text itself, I'm tempted to try to make the text more relevant to my women. It's not that I'm abandoning the text of Scripture. It's just I want it to be really relevant. And I wonder if you guys have ever found yourself in that situation. I found myself in that situation, just tempted to do this. When our women's Bible study, a couple of years ago, we were studying Hosea. And there is a lot of good historical context we have, particularly with Hosea and Gomer. But man, when it was my turn to teach, I really wanted to kind of create some historical context. I wanted to even recreate maybe Hosea and Gomer's first meeting. I thought, this is really going to get the women listening. This is really going to engage them. But I needed to not do that because I needed to keep the conviction that I was going to stay on the line of Scripture, because this is what's going to keep me tethered to the Word of God. And so I'm so thankful that at Simeon Trust, we have a principle to help us with our instruction on staying on the line. And the principle is this: we must stay on the line of Scripture, never straying above it or below it. And I think you guys have handouts that have that principle there. So a principle right here, I put it up on the board. We must stay on the line of Scripture, never straying above it or below it. And we've got a picture to go with our principle. So that line there is the line of Scripture. And the plus, we don't want to go above it. We don't want to add to it. And the negative side, we don't want to take away from it. We don't want to say less than it says. So that's our principle. And when I see this picture, I am always thinking of a book that I bought for my kids after 9/11. It was, right after 9/11, and there's just a lot of sad memories about the Twin Towers. So a woman wrote a book for kids to try and give them some happy memories of the Twin Towers. And it was about a French aerialist named Philippe Petit. And in the 70s, he and a whole team of people with him snuck up the Twin Towers and strung a cable between the two buildings. It was It was illegal, so they had to sneak out. They did it in the middle of the night, and they strung this cable between the two towers. And in the morning, Philippe Petit got out and did a tightrope walk on that cable between the two towers. Now, praise God that he didn't fall, because he had no net and he had no harness. He just had this metal pole that he was using to balance himself. But for several hours, he just walked between those two towers on that very, very skinny cable. And so when I think of staying on the line of Scripture, I remember that story of Philippe Petit, and I think, yep, that's what I need to do. I need to stay on that line, and I need to remember that if I don't stay on the line, just like for Philippe Petit, when he could have fallen and it could have been disastrous, if I don't stay on that line, it's also disastrous results. So we need to keep this conviction in mind. Well, we're not the only ones who have been tempted to go off the line of Scripture, right? It began in the very beginning with Satan and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, tempting her to go off the line of what God's word was? And we also see it in the prophetical books. We see it several times, but one in particular that I want us to look at together is in Jeremiah 11. So grab your Bibles again and flip over to Jeremiah 14. I'm sorry, I think I said 11, but Jeremiah 14. Okay, we're going to look at verses 11 to 16. And in a minute, you're going to get with a partner, get with the woman next to you, another hallmark of Simeon trust. Even during the instructions, you're going to be doing work. So you're going to get with the woman next to you. One of you read Jeremiah 14, 11 through 16, and then I've got a couple of questions for you to answer. Put them up here on the screen. Who is adding or taking away from the word of God? How are they adding or taking away from God's word? And what does God say is going to happen to them? All right, so go. You have I'll give you 4 minutes to do this. All right, I'm going to bring you guys back together. All right. So who is adding or taking away from the word of God? I just need someone, raise your hand, and then you're going to speak really loudly so everyone can hear you. Oh, I see. Everyone wants to be the first, right? But come on, you guys, be brave. All right, right here.
The prophets.
Now, is that the prophet Jeremiah? No, it's not the prophet Jeremiah, is it? It's the other prophets, right? The lying prophets. Great. Okay. How are they adding to or taking away from God's word? What did you see? Okay, first of all, they're making up their own message and saying it's coming from the Lord. And what is that message that they're making up? Go for it. Yeah, that no harm is going to come to them. In particular, if you look at verse 13, is this the verse that you were thinking of? Yeah, okay, in verse 13, look at that one. You won't see sword or suffer famine. What does that sound like? Does that sound like adding to or taking away? I heard taking away. Yeah, because that's not what Jeremiah's been telling them. So they're saying less than what God's prophet is saying. And then when we go on, I will certainly give you lasting peace in this place. Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like adding, do you think? Sounds like adding, yeah. He's giving them a promise that Jeremiah did not give. It's a new promise, an added promise. Yes, exactly. And then what does God say is going to happen to these lying prophets who are adding to and taking away from God's word?
Someone be brave.
That he didn't send them?
That he didn't send them. Yeah, that's the first thing. He didn't send them, and then I saw back here. They are going to be consumed by the sword and famine. The very things that they said weren't going to happen are going to happen to them, right? Yeah. So we can see from this passage, we're not the first people to be tempted to do this. But if we look all through Scripture, we would see different instances or occasions where people have added to or taken away from God's word. And the consequences are devastating. And so the consequences will be devastating for us and for the people we teach if we were to make a habit of adding to or taking away from God's word. So this is sobering. Now, I want you guys to be sobered, but the whole point is not for you to walk out tonight and say, oh my gosh, I can't ever teach God's word because I might be under judgment. That's not at all the case. I want you to be sobered, but I also want you to understand you all are not like the false prophets, right? The false prophets had no interest in telling the people God's words. They were interested in making up their own words. But I believe that because you're here, you have an interest in understanding God's word and bringing it to the people. And also, You desire so much that your people would understand the word, right? So there is much grace here. I want you to hear that. I want you, all of us to be sober. We want to stay on the line of Scripture. It's easy to go off the line of Scripture, but there is much grace for our teaching. The Lord is good to us. All right, I'm going to just stop here for a minute to see if anybody has a question before I go on. Okay, we're going to move on. Well, I think it will be helpful for us if we list some ways that today it is easy for us to either go above the line of Scripture or below the line of Scripture. So what have you guys, what's either been tempting to you or what have you seen where people have gone above Scripture and added things to it? Or they haven't said really what it said.
They try to make a political statement based on what the text says.
Okay, yeah. Seen some of that recently. So, a political statement. I think that probably would fall in the category of adding to what God's word says. Did you say taking away judgment? Yeah, so not wanting to preach the full message of judgment that is in God's word or in the passage that you might have. Yeah.
Sometimes you'll just see half of a verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't
want to
finish it.
Half a verse. How often have we seen that on mugs or pillows or other things? Yeah. I think I saw some other hands.
People say, like, oh, I
believe Jesus,
so I can do whatever I want.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. So let's see, I'll just say Jesus makes me free. So they ignore certain parts of the Bible that they don't like or are uncomfortable. Because they have freedom in Jesus. Yeah. What else? Okay, yeah.
This example of coming up with like a really good illustration.
Yes.
And kind of going off on a tangent that maybe view is a little too far.
Yes. So I think, like I was saying with my example of just wanting to tell that really good story. Now, there is a place for stories and illustrations. But we want our stories and illustrations to make the most and bring out the message of the word that's there. It should undergird, right, the meaning of the passage. It shouldn't, like, be taking women off into a different direction. Yeah. Good.
So I actually do
do have a question related to this.
Okay.
So we're in a pretty post-Christian context now, where a lot of people coming to our churches never cracked the Bible, definitely don't think it's inerrant or God's word.
Yes.
And we want to stay the line while we teach, right?
Yeah.
But we also want to contextualize it for them in the reality they lived in, which has been mostly secular.
Yes.
So how do you balance that tension, right?
With right.
preaching?
Yeah.
Not just non-believers, but totally non-church, non-Bible.
Yes.
Bible.
Right. People who don't know their Bibles. That's an excellent question. And I, because we do want to be faithful to this conviction, to stay on the line. But if we're just, you know, use all Bible language, Christian language that people don't understand, who are not used to being in the church, they're not only are they not going to understand, they're not even going to be interested in what we have to say because it doesn't relate to them. In fact, doing that, I think, would almost like be going below the line because we're not bringing the message to them. We're not really understanding the message and communicating it to them. Yeah, so I think a helpful question is to ask yourself is the story or the illustration or the words that I'm using, and am I using it to really explain what the message of the text is? Does it undergird the message of the text, right? So yes, I think that those things can be very helpful, but we want to be careful how we use them. So, and particularly, I think in that Hosea example, if I had created a whole story about Hosea and Gomer and told it to my women as if it like really happened, I think my women would have left confused because they would have thought that what I was telling them, that story, was in scripture. But if I had said, okay, wow, this Hosea and Gomer, we can't relate as much, but let me tell you a story that helps us to relate. That's a way I think I could have introduced it and where it would have really built up the word. So, great question. All right, I think we've got some good ideas here. I want us to get into scripture and to start looking at a particular passage and how we might go above or below the line with a particular passage. So turn in your Bibles to Amos 2. And you're just going to look at verses 4 and 5. And you're going to get with your neighbor again. And you are going to think about how, as a Bible teacher, you might be tempted to go above or below the line of scripture if this Amos 2 and 4 and 5 were the verses that you were going to teach to your women. How might you, if you weren't careful, go above or below the line of scripture? And I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to do this. All right, I'm going to bring you guys back together. Okay, somebody tell me a way that you might go above the line with this. I'll just put, you could call some people out and how they're going to be judged because of certain things that they have do or don't do. Yes. Yeah. What else? You could either teach it as like a promise, if you do keep the law, you're going to avoid judgment, or if you don't keep the law, then you will be judged. Yeah.
Let's see. Just put
law equals judgment. All right. Good. What about going below the line? Anybody think of a way you might be able to go to below the line?
Say that judgment altogether is the last factor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
That's so Old Testament. Don't worry about that part. Right? Yeah, you guys have done a great job. All right, I want to give you another chance to do it. So flip over to Amos 4 and look at verses 1 through 3. And again, get with your partner. I'm going to give you about 2 or 3 minutes, and you're going to do the same thing. Think about how you might go above or below. Okay, I'm going to bring you guys back together again. Tell me either how you might be tempted to go above or below the line with these verses.
Yep.
Legalistic, drinking. Yep. Yep, you're going to get judged for that. You better watch out. Yep. And what else?
At Fishhook, taking it below would be fishhooks are like a metaphor for something else.
Oh, yeah. Because,
they were a fishing community, so that we would have been like, the store's closed.
Right. Yeah. But, it's like, oh, this is kind of some ugly graphic imagery. And so we might not want to deal with that. Yeah.
Again, I'll just put the judgment. I think this is pretty much all of Amos. The temptation right here is to lessen the judgment.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything that they saw in this one? Okay, flesh that one out a little bit more.
Well, I think someone could be asked the question, so you'll be cast out. So is God okay with people going, not being a part of this community anymore?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
Casting people out?
Maybe casting people out of the community who don't keep certain standards. Okay. So if you don't give enough to the poor, now this one is an interesting one because I think it shows how the line is. We got to be really careful with the line because, we could.
If you don't give, maybe we could say enough to the poor, you're going to face judgment.
But how could we take that same idea and go below the line?
You just write that out. So that's social justice.
Yes,
That's not the gospel. That's just social justice.
Okay, that's just social justice. That's not for today, right? And
suddenly we see, wow, it's really hard to stay on that line, isn't it? And all I have to say is, welcome to Simeon Trust, because we, Lord willing, are going to give you some tools this weekend that are going to help you not go above or not go below. And, it's not going to be perfect. We're all still making progress, but to staying on that line of Scripture. All right. So we have a good feel of what it's like to go above and what it's like to go below. But we need some strategies of how we can stay on the line. What are some strategies to staying on the line?
Pray.
Who said pray? Pray, yes. That always an awesome must go to, but an easily forgotten strategy, right? Okay, so you might check commentaries. Now, have to be careful with commentaries, right? Because we don't always know if they're going to be reliable. We always want to do our own work first, and then check another resource. Who could you check? Who could you check with if you didn't have? Let's say you don't have a big library of commentaries. Who else could you draw on? Yeah, your pastor. And someone even was, were you pointing to someone at your table? You just call her out, right? Yeah, many of you came with other women. You can check with other women in your community. Yeah, and then someone did, you had your hand raised. Okay. Yeah. So, other translations are always helpful. If you think, it's definitely saying this, a different translation might make you question. Think about that a little more.
Using scripture to interpret scripture, so it's not going to contradict. The Bible is contradicting itself, and so if you're not quite sure what that means, what is it contradicting?
Okay. Did you guys hear that? I'll write down scripture. Using all of scripture, because scripture is not going to contradict itself, and so seeing where else in scripture this is talked about, what is said about it. Great. You guys have done a good job. Are there any...
Knowing major themes. Okay. Stay within topic.
Good. Knowing themes. Yep. Biblical themes, or even knowing some themes that run throughout Scripture, or particularly knowing themes that run throughout Amos could be helpful. Yeah.
How about going to the Hebrew? You can go on, back into the Bible or whatever, look up the original words and the meanings for those words. That's very interesting.
Yes. So knowing the original languages. And again, that's a little bit of a tricky one. It can be really helpful. But I think we have so much with like our English Bibles and English translations that we can do a lot of good work with our English Bibles. Now, if you do have the opportunity or resources, those could be a helpful check. But I don't think it's at all necessary. I think we've got so much in our English Bibles, and sometimes can even be some dangerous waters, can kind of like lead you down a path, like lead you, it could lead you astray. So just hold it loosely and carefully. Yeah, so reading, especially. If you're in a passage or a part of scripture that you're less familiar with, reading and rereading. Sometimes that first reading, you don't have it quite right. Yes? Right, yeah, so being careful how we come to scripture, that we don't set the agenda saying like, I want to speak about this, what passage can I use, but we more come to scripture saying, no, we're going to let scripture speak, and we will say what it says. Yeah, and in that vein, sometimes it can be helpful just to think about, okay, I have this passage, how might I be tempted to go above the line, or how might I be tempted to go below the line with this particular passage? So kind of knowing yourself and your own temptations. Yeah, you guys had a lot of great strategies. And the strategy that I had mentioned earlier when I said welcome to Simeon Trust was our tools, where we're going to get some more instructions on tools like context and structure. That again, those using those tools well is going to help us stay on the line. Great. Well, you guys have done a real good job with this. And before we take a break for our next instruction, I just want to give you a little bit more of a roadmap of how this whole weekend is going to work and how particularly your worksheet fits with what, some of the instructions that you're going to get this weekend. And we do that through what we call the pathway of preparation. Because we all start off with our text, right? And then we've got our women over here. And we want to bring the text to our women. But if we're too quick to take the text and immediately go to our women, then we could go above the line and we could go below the line. And so what we need to do is we need to travel this pathway. So as we're traveling the pathway, what we're first trying to do is figure out what the text said to them then. This is, what did the text say to that original audience? And then we're going to take the text to the cross and say, okay, how does my text connect to the gospel? And then finally, we can bring the text down to our women. So when we're traveling from our text up to then, we're using tools like context and structure. These are the tools that we're using to figure out what it said to them then. This is where you're answering question number one on your worksheet of how did the author organize the particular passage? Or question number two, what was the context? And when you get up to the them then, what the text said to the original audience, that's when you're answering number three on your worksheet. What was the argument that the author was bringing to his audience? Okay? And then when we have that argument and we work towards connecting that to the gospel, that's where you answered question number four on your worksheet. What was the connection to the gospel? We'll have a whole instruction on that. And then finally, now we're ready to travel and bring the text down to our women. And that's when you are answering the questions on your worksheet, like number five, what was the argument for your audience? And what were your applications? And what's your teaching outline? Okay, and then finally, we'll bring the text to our women. And you see that as you're carefully following this pathway of preparation, it's protecting us from going above the line or going below the line. And you might wonder, well, where is staying on the line on this pathway? Well, it's not on the pathway because it's actually just a conviction that we bring to the pathway, a commitment or a conviction that we aren't going to go above and we aren't going to go below that line of scripture. And I think over here, I want to go back to your question about where stories and illustrations and how we use them. And I think that when we've done all that hard work and we're finally on that last line, that's when we're ready to come up with our stories and illustrations and make it contemporary. That's where we have to do that work to really bring it to our people today. But when we start doing that work, those questions 5, 6, and 7, you will have really understood the passage, so you're ready to do that work.